everyone. My name is Michelle, and this is Rusty.
Hello.
And we are going to talk to you today about everything you need to know about deploying Windows 10 in the workplace. The emphasis we have here is need to know, because if we were to tell you everything that we had on Windows 10, we would be here all night. And we are very much aware that we are standing between you and dinner.
So thank you very much for coming tonight.
Yeah. Was anyone here in the previous session? Oh, wow. So you guys really love Windows 10, huh? Michael is the worldwide subject matter expert in this topic, so we were super excited to be following him and also to have the last spot of the day, and also to be doing it at the same time as they are giving away free drinks. So, yeah.
So hopefully in this session you'll get a little bit more context about why we're doing all this crazy stuff with Windows 10. So a little bit less on in the tools and the low-level stuff. We keep it a little bit high level, so hopefully no one's falling asleep on us.
We'll see how we go. So, it is a new world for Microsoft. I don't know how long you've all been with us, but in the old days we might have had a bit of a reputation for being a hard, unrelenting, and business that didn't listen to its customers. That is all gone, and we are now listening to our customers. Part of that is the Windows Insider program. How many of you are on the Windows Insider program? Cool. Cool. And what we've been hearing when we've been listening to customers is there's a lot of concern, as there always is, about security on devices. But the more we listened about that, the more we realized it wasn't really concern about the devices themselves, it's concern about the data. So that's something we're going to talk a little bit more about later, because Windows 10 makes securing your data a lot easier than in the past. A lot of tools, a lot of fragmentation, the business doing what it always has, going out and buying software that you then have to learn to manage and link together. A lot of complexity, a lot of users that are trying to be mobile, a lot of demands on you guys, and a lot of less money to help manage these complex environments. Oh, he should don't look at the screen, look down there, and I'm still looking up there. Okay, so all of that comes back to a more open and transparent dialogue with Microsoft, which, if you don't know what the Windows Insider program is, it is a program that allows you to test the builds before everyone else gets the builds, and you get to feedback directly, and you can see what the result of that feedback is, and you can kind of like vote up and vote down, like on Reddit, the improvements that you want to see in there, which is pretty cool as well. We're listening through every aspect of the business, not just through that, but that's a really cool part, I think. Some stats. So there is only 37 days till Christmas. If any of you were thinking that your free backpacks this week were a good Christmas gift, I can tell you right now they are not. There is also only 1,518 days till end of support for Windows 7. Which is quite a big number, you're thinking, and so no need to worry about that. But in fact, we started warning about end of XP support at 1,000 days. And we still have a lot of businesses on Windows XP. None of you guys, I'm presuming. Anyone still get XP out there? Ooh. Oh, yes. Well, there's David. So, yeah, January 14th, 2020 for that. Long time away right now. Only 55 days till end of support for every single version of Internet Explorer apart from the current one. 55 days sounds a lot more scary, because that is just after Christmas, the 37 days that I just mentioned. And for a lot of people, the problem is not the operating system, the problem is IE. So yeah, 55 days. Oh, for all of them? Not all of them.
Unless you're running Vista.
Anyone on Vista?
you get a little bit more time to move off IE10.
Did I have something else I wanted to say on that one? No? Oh, yeah, I did. I was going to talk about one of my customers. So when we drove down from the airport on Monday, we stopped at one of my customers, and they said it took them a full year to move from IE7 to IE8. However, when they went to IE11, they did that in less than 3 months. And the reason that was so easy is because they just pushed it out everywhere, and anywhere there were problems, they used compatibility mode, and it's all running fine. So, you know, do that. Is this a lower number than we had when we were rehearsing?
It's getting lower and lower every day.
236 days until end of support for Windows 10.
Anyone nervous about this? It's good.
There is no
need
to
worry. This is a very
good thing. Yeah, no need to worry about this because Rusty is going to explain that when he gets into his technical part in a bit. This is our one slide that we did in black and white, and we did this because we wanted to symbolize that this had already happened. The world has already changed. People are already mobile, they are already collaborating, everything is much freer and more easier than it was in the olden days. I still remember a workplace where nobody had a mobile phone. Is anyone else with me there? Right,
no idea what you're talking about.
Rusty is too young for that. And I remember when we got two mobile phones and they were like bricks, and we had to pass them around for our out-of-hours support. But there wasn't really any glamour in that, even though they cost thousands of dollars or pounds. I don't know if you can tell that I'm originally English. because they were just so heavy and ugly. I was watching the hack event last night, and one of the women there said that when she wakes up in the morning, the first thing she does is look at her mobile phone, and it is the last thing she looks at before she goes to sleep at night. And no one even blinked at that because, well, everyone's like that, and if it's not us, then it's everyone around you. You take pictures of your food and put it on Instagram, and you tweet before you go to sleep at night. It's thing. Oh, and I should say, if anyone's using the hashtags for Twitter, remember hashtag MSAUIgnite. Also, for this session, we're going to use hashtag wipe and load. Not because we recommend wipe and load as our favorite deployment method, but just because we think that's the most hilarious one to use for the session. So, you know.
The reason we're mentioning all this stuff is to just really drive home that, you know, the world's changed about this. You think about, you know, there was heard a stat this last week about electricity, that becoming, you know, what we know today was invented whenever it was. And it's taken something like 70 years for that to propagate around and become a thing that everybody knows about. Uber comes along, and within 2 years, everybody's using it, right? That rapid rate of change is the new world that we live in, and we need to bring Windows up to that same playing field.
Yeah, our businesses are not as patient as they used to be. When something comes out, they want it implemented immediately. And in the old days, we used to be able to stall them. And when I say the old days, I mean like 10, 15 years ago, when Rusty was still a baby. Work is no longer a place that you go anymore as well. So now, in the olden days, when you had a workaholic, that would be the guy that worked 16 hours a day and he was sleeping in the office and he smelled pretty bad. Whereas now, a workaholic, well, could be any of us, because I'm sure all of you has that one guy that sends emails at 3 a.m. in the morning. And you receive it because everyone is connected 24/7. And what device you use and where you use it and how you use it is not as important as getting your work done. There are 343 million bring your own devices out there now, 343 million. I actually am one of those. So I use a Surface Pro 3 as my device, and it's one that I purchased myself. And Microsoft gave me a Lenovo Carbon X1. And it's a great laptop. It's robust, it's thin, it's light, it's strong, and I use that when I'm doing demos. But I don't want to carry that around with me because I can't fit that in my little handbag, whereas I can fit my Surface Pro 3 in there. So I carry that around with me everywhere and I use my own device. And Microsoft are not afraid of that, because if I was to walk out of the organization today after, you know, being terrified by a really scary audience, they would be able to selectively wipe the data that was theirs off my device and leave me with the data that is mine on my device. And all of our users are looking for that mobility, that flexibility, that accessibility. How many of you are sending your first email of the day before you leave your house? That's not as many as I would have thought. The statistic says 56%. And how many send their last email of the day after they leave the office?
A few more again.
I know, I think that was less. No, so that's 73% is the statistic. How many of you use the same phone for business and for pleasure?
Just about everyone.
Well, so it used to be you would always have a separate phone for business and you'd always have a separate phone for your own, but now everything is combined, it's all on the same phone, you carry that phone with you everywhere. We were talking about this yesterday and Rusty said that he would rather leave his wallet behind than leave his phone behind.
Maybe I said that.
And I have seen people start to sweat when they don't, you know, when they're like 2 minutes away from their phone because they're panicking, they've lost it somewhere. And when you lose your phone, you lose your life, right? So, yeah, the Windows 10 experience is more about helping to enable all of this flexibility, all of this adaptability, all of this mobility for our end users without worrying about data security, without worrying that they're going to, well, we're going to lose that IP. And they are. Like right now, they are using their Dropbox, they're using Gmail, they're using Hotmail, they're using USB sticks to get the data out of the organization where you are blocking them. And in Windows 10, and also there's a lot of extra functionality that you can get with other management tools, you can have a little bit of a better hold on that without appearing to have a better hold on that. So you're not going to look like the jailer. It's all going to be seamless and it's all going to be easy for your end users, but you're also going to feel safe. So they can do what they want and you don't have to be afraid. Yeah, because as I said before, it is specifically, I think, about the data, not the devices. Assets are not that expensive these days, unless you're looking at our beautiful new Surface Book. Have you all seen that? There's a few people carrying those. Oh, David has one right there. it was a little heavy for me. I think I can't fit that in my handbag, so probably not. But the cameras on those things are good enough for Windows Hello, right? And that is a cool piece of technology that we're not going to spend any time on tonight. But I definitely saw that demoed in one of the Ignite New Zealand presentations, Windows 10 in the Enterprise. So you should definitely look that one up and watch it on Channel 9. Oh, and if you didn't see Michael's before this, you should watch that on Channel 9 as well. Oh, this is my favorite slide. So what is essentially bringing it all home and making it all easy and making it all so much better than it ever was before is this, the single operating system that we will have right from the kernel all the way through to the app platform. The single operating system that you can use on your mobile phone, on your device, Surface device, on your laptop, on your Xbox, on your Surface Hub, on your HoloLens. It is the same OS from the device in your pocket to the device on the wall. A lot of people ask why we did that whole you can get Windows 10, you can upgrade to Windows 10 for free within the first year. And they say, is it some kind of trick? Are you going to start, you know, are you going to hit people with a fee after that date? What is the deal around that? And it's not a trick. It's not a trick. It's actually a really genius idea. The problem we had when we bought Nokia was that a lot of people said, well, there is, I don't have my apps, my, you know, on Windows Phone, the apps are not there. So we said, fair enough, we went out, we paid the top 100 app developers to make their app for Windows Phone, which was great. But then what we noticed was that that's not really sustainable, because in fact, when you pay someone to do something, they don't do it when you don't pay them. And the thing with apps is they are as flexible and adaptable and mobile as the whole new world is. And so there can be an app created today that has a million downloads by next week, and we can't keep up with that kind of thing. So what we thought was, what we need to do is make it super easy for the devs so that they will want to make stuff for us. Easy thing to do, same platform, from phone, from device, Surface Hub, HoloLens. They only have to make it once. This isn't what anyone else has done. We can do that. That's easy. And the other thing we can do is give them market share. We can give them the volume. There are already 120 million Windows 10 devices out there, and we only released it a few months ago. And this was before we released the first major update last week. Since then, it has accelerated again. I'm going to mention that 120. We're going to mention 120 more than once. The other thing is that there are 1.4 billion Windows devices, client devices, out there at the moment. 1.4 billion. And the problem for those app people is that that's 1.4 billion across all of our client operating systems. So therefore, it's too hard for them to try and build apps for all of those things. So what we want to do is have everyone on the same one. At the rate we're going, we will have a billion devices on Windows 10 by FY18.
We're already around 15 million devices ahead of that schedule. So Windows 10 is really going gangbusters.
Yes. And so in that way, we're making it easy for developers, we're making it easy for users, because this is the same experience they have from the device on their pocket to the device in the wall, and easy for everyone, and the numbers are there. So hundreds of millions more devices than iOS and Android have combined. Why wouldn't they make them for us then? That's the thing. That's why this is my favorite slide. Oh, and there you go, Rusty.
So bringing this back to our topic of, you know, how is Windows applied in an enterprise? Well, the main thing is, you know, as we've been saying, is the world is changing, and enterprises need to wake up to that and start adapting to this new world we're living in, of this rapid change. So that's really where, you know, Windows 10 comes to the fore and says, right, we're delivering a platform that protects you against these modern security threats that are coming out all over the news in the last few months. Continuous innovation is another big aspect of Windows 10, because we're delivering Windows as a service now. We're constantly updating Windows. We're delivering new features to our customers. They can leverage those new features faster, and they can become productive and more innovative themselves at a much more rapid pace. Let's continue on.
Get into the hard stuff now.
So, we've got three kind of high-level topics we want to chat about tonight, and the first one is about Windows deployment. So how do we actually get Windows out there? And if you were in the previous session, you will have seen some of this, but I think the one thing that I love about Windows 10 is, rather than Microsoft coming along and says, right, we've got this new idea, everybody do this one thing. More than anything else, Windows 10 is giving us more options than we've ever had before. More flexibility to deploy, manage, service our devices the way that makes sense for us in our organization. So, while we've got all these fantastic new things in Windows 10, things like Windows Hello and Device Guard and Credential Guard, and, you know, these great new things we might want to implement, we might not all be ready for that straight away. Some of us have aging hardware fleets, or we've got some internal applications or hardware that's holding us back. Whatever the case is, that's okay, because you can still deploy Windows 10 the way that you are used to deploying Windows. So if you still want to create a golden image, fully format the drive and copy that image down and do all that stuff with Windows 10, that's okay, because that's what makes sense in your organization, in your environment. But once you're on that platform, we're going to keep you fresh and up to date, and that's going to allow you to take the time to, you know, invest in some of these new technologies and all the new features that we haven't even seen yet, because of that innovative process of delivering Windows as a service. So don't be turned off about all the new requirements that you might have for some of the new stuff. Start small. Take baby steps. We asked the question in our blurb, you know, will you step or will you leap? Copying from our one of our recent Xbox ads. And the reality is you can do both, either or, whatever makes sense for you and your organization. So, like I said, if you want to take that traditional wipe and load approach, then by all means do that. Right, you can download those bits from MSDN or your volume licensing portal. You can build up a golden image on a device, whether you do that manually or through something like SECM or MDT. Again, that's definitely a supported way. Capture that image and deploy it in the traditional means. Something else that, again, we're talking about a lot this week is this in-place upgrade with Windows 10. Now, Windows has had an in-place upgrade process ever since Windows 95 or something like that. And I'm sure you guys that have been around for a little while tried it once, maybe twice, and then thought never again because things broke pretty easily, right? But the product group really have spent a lot of time on this, and they've really tried to make this a realistic option for enterprises. And this is particularly useful if you have gone through that SOE project, right? When Windows 7 came along and you try to standardize your applications and you got your security policies right and you've got a good SOE, then the in-place upgrade is a really easy way for you to get onto Windows 10. Because it's, you know, we said there, sit back, relax, let Windows do the work. Okay, we will take care of all of your users' applications and all of your users' data, and we'll just swap out the old OS bits for the new OS bits, and you're on the latest and greatest. Now, there's going to be cases where that's not appropriate for you. Again, you have that wipe and load option. There are a couple of caveats and, you know, things you need to think about in using that process. I'll cover that off in a minute. Lastly, provisioning. So this is our new deployment method, if you like, with Windows 10. And this is all about when you're starting with a device that already has Windows 10 on it. Now, something you're not going to be jumping on straight away, but if you think in a year's time, in 2 years' time, you know, any device you unbox is probably going to have Windows 10 on it. You're already on Windows 10, so now you've got a new option. Rather than ripping everything off and, you know, going out and developing your own driver packages and, you know, those custom images, we can start with something that's already working, and we can just apply to that device the things that are important to make that device access our corporate resources. Right, so things like certificates or corporate Wi-Fi, VPN configuration, even applications if you really want to. But whatever the user needs, the really important stuff to get them productive, you can put that in a provisioning package, the user double clicks on it, maybe the machine reboots, and you're good to go. All right? Something that you'll probably start discovering is that it's starting to make more sense in our organizations to have a lighter management style of the device. You know, back in XP days, things were a little bit fragile, and we tried really hard to, you know, stop the user from doing anything other than these 10 things, right? Lockdown, 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 because stuff broke easily. But again, world's changing. Most of our users are a little bit more IT savvy these days. Unfortunately, not all of them, but most of them. And this is going to be a good use case for some of your organization, right? They're going to manage their own device like Michelle. It's something that she's gone out and bought. It's her device, but she needs access to corporate resources. So a simple way that I could do that as an IT admin was configure a provisioning package, give her the important stuff, right, the security stuff or the connection profiles, just send her an email with an attachment. Again, that provisioning package can be secured with passwords and signed and so on, so we're still secure. But she's up and running and ready to go wherever she is in the world, right? I don't have to drag her back to the office and plug in that blue cable and wait 3 hours while we blow everything away and start from scratch. This is a much more efficient process.
Do they need SCCM to do that, or?
No, so this is functionality that's built into the OS. So you don't need any management tools to do this, other than the ADK, which is a free download, which authors those provisioning packages. It's quite similar to an unattend file, which I'm sure you've all seen before. And the application that we use, I'll touch on in a minute, we used to do that. And it's just a PPKG file that a user can double click on. The way you deliver that PPKG file is up to you, right? Like I said, it can be an email attachment, it's a USB key, it's a download from an intranet site, anything. Again, the point here is that you've got options and you should be using all of them. Who here is running SCCM in the environment? Right, it's the majority of you and it's the majority of our customers. So make sure you come to the session tomorrow night. We'll talk about what's coming in the next version of SCCM.
I didn't mention that session previously though. There was a session canceled yesterday and a lot of people were really looking forward to that session on SCCM and Intune. Rusty is going to step in and deliver that session with Maka 5 p.m. tomorrow.
Yes.
So it's going to be really glorious. Don't miss it.
So for most of our customers, you've already got SCCM in there. It's quite likely you're going to be using a task sequence to deploy Windows 10. And again, while the current version, so this is SCCM 2012 SP2 or 2012 R2 SP1, really awesome, confusing version numbers there. This is a bit of a manual process. So you've got to go and hand crank that task sequence to do the work, but it is quite straightforward. You're basically running setup.exe with some command line switches, and the setup program that's built into Windows is doing most of the work. With the next version, we'll have native built-in support for this process. So there'll be a new task sequence template, next, give it the Windows 10 media, and you can deploy it. So, back a step. Again, the things that we're doing as part of this process, we're running through a bit of a prerequisite check, make sure the system's all good. We might check for minimum requirements. But again, the hardware requirements for Windows 10 hasn't changed compared to Windows 8, and the only difference between Windows 10 and Windows 7, I think, is a slightly higher CPU requirement, but it's largely the same. So you shouldn't have a problem there. We take an inventory of the device, find out where all the user's data lives, and find out all the applications that they have installed. Now, there are a couple of cases where we will detect that, hey, this particular application is a bit of a bad apple, we know it's not going to work, and we will disable that in the operating system. So if we'll allow the process to continue, but that one app might not come back. Usually the culprit is older or maybe not so popular AV clients. Drivers as well. We want to make sure that all the drivers that are currently in the OS are supported in Windows 10. If there's a boot critical driver that's not going to be supported for some reason, the process will error out and we'll say, hey, this can't be upgraded because we're not going to have network drivers at the end, or we're not going to have, you know, storage drivers or something like that. And that information is presented in the logging. Then what we do is we copy that whole operating system off to the side, and we deploy the new Windows 10 operating system, we restore the applications and restore all the users' data. The one cool thing about this is that because that whole previous operating system stays on the disk, if anything does go wrong or the user finds out that, hey, there's this one thing that is critical to my job that is not working, a couple of mouse clicks will revert their machine back to Windows 7 or back to Windows 8 or back to whatever was there previously. So even if now that we're going from that first release of Windows 10 to the second release, if something catastrophic went wrong, they can roll back with a few clicks. And that process is quite robust. I had to do that a number of times in the very early betas, and it never failed me, so that was good. I will mention, though, that rollback feature will be disabled after 30 days, because it is obviously taking up a lot of disk space, so we'll clean up the old operating system after 30 days. Like I said, there are going to be a couple of cases where the in-place upgrade is not suitable, and really we're talking about a situation where you need to make lots of change. You know, so one case might be that for a group of your devices, or perhaps your whole organization, you don't have that kind of controlled SOE environment currently, right? Maybe people are local administrators, there's applications all over the place, data all over the place, and this might be a good opportunity to say, let's wipe the slate clean, start afresh, and when we get on that Windows 10 platform, we'll start enabling some of these, you know, great flexibility options. So if you need to make bulk changes to things like applications and settings and data, obviously we've got the local administrator accounts, the domain that that device belongs to, then wipe and load's not going to work for you. How many of you are still running BIOS-based devices? Okay. So again, this is not something that's going to stop you from getting onto Windows 10, at least right now. So you can still upgrade, but if you wanted to change that device from a BIOS-based system to a UEFI-based system, again, you can't do that as part of the wipe and load process because we're talking about formatting the disk in a new partitioning structure. So not going to stop you getting to Windows 10, but it will get in the way when you start looking at some of our new security features that we've got built into the OS. That really does require on the security of UEFI as opposed to BIOS. So something you need to think about going forward. Also, this process only works with the native Windows 10 installation files. So you can't go and create yourself a custom image and then do in-place upgrades to that custom image. But again, that use case doesn't make a lot of sense anyway, because the idea is that you've got everything set up as you need it. You've got the apps, you've got the data that's already installed on the user's device. We just want to swap out the OS. Right, provisioning, again, not to harp on this too much, but the one main difference here is the new tool that's a part of the ADK for Windows 10, which is called a great long name of Windows Imaging and Configuration Designer, but of course you'll hear it referred to as Wicked throughout the IT community. And again, it's about authoring this package. What are those critical settings or assets that the device needs to be productive? Create that provisioning package. Then you have some sort of deployment vector. They download that PPKG file, double click on it, and now they provisioned, they have all those important bits. Something else we'll be talking about in tomorrow's session is about how we can leverage MDM to automatically deliver and install these provisioning packages straight from the login prompt. Right? So when the user opens up that new device, they log in with their Office 365 account through things like Azure Active Directory. We'll automatically provision them into Intune for mobile device management. We'll push down the provisioning package, and they're ready to go without them doing a whole lot. So some of the other things that you can configure as part of a provisioning package. I won't go to these in any detail. Some of the cool ones is start menu customization. So I know there was a lot of customers that wanted a specific start menu layout when Windows 8 and 8.1 came out, and it kind of worked, mostly didn't. Things are much better in Windows 10. Also, the edition upgrade. So in that case of a user going and buying their own device and they want to connect to the enterprise, well, if I'm licensed for enterprise version of Windows, I can then deliver a provisioning package with a new product key, and that'll just upgrade from Windows Pro to Windows Enterprise. At the moment, that's the only upgrade that's allowed, unless you're in the education space. There's a few more options. But at the moment, it's just going from Pro to Enterprise. And it's a one-way street, so just remember that. All right, servicing. Probably one of the biggest changes we've done with Windows. Rather than this massive OS update coming out every 3 to 5 years, or we've got service packs that do a whole lot of changes, the changes are smaller, but they're much more often. Again, I think it'll be easier for IT organizations to handle because there's less things to go and test and make sure that they still work. But also, we get these latest and greatest features much more often. We need to be thinking about these updates or servicing in these two different buckets. So we've got the feature upgrades, which is what we released just last week. That's the new build of Windows with the new features, right? And this is something that we'll deliver through the Windows as a service methodology. On the other side, we talk about traditional updates, your bug fixes, typical Patch Tuesday type stuff. That side of the fence is largely unchanged, right? So you're still going to get these updates regularly. You're going to push them out by WSUS or however you do it currently to make sure the OS is patched. But every 4 months or thereabouts, there'll be new features that you deploy, and that's what we're talking about in these two different kinds of updates. And these are going to apply to the different types of users we have in our organization. So if you think about just across the world, we have these consumers. They generally want the latest and greatest. They're not fussed about patching their machine and change control and all that kind of stuff. It's, I want to be on the latest and greatest. And we've kind of all experienced this, I think. You pull your phone out of your pocket one day and, oh, look, there's an update to iOS or whatever phone you're using. It's a pretty short time before you go away and install that, right? And that's the kind of experience we want to deliver to our consumers, again, on any Windows device that they're using.
They block me. They stop me using apps if I don't install the update.
Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. In business though, right, in the enterprise, we need a little bit more control. So while we want our users to have new features, there's a few more things to think about because, you know, dollars are at stake at the end of the day, let's be honest. We can't afford the updates to, you know, cause too much disruption. And lastly, there are what we call these specialized systems. And usually we're talking about a device that's running some kind of instrument, right? This is not a user's device. This is the machine in the corner that's running the MRI, you know, machine, or the machine underneath the runway controlling the lights, right, for nighttime. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. You want to kind of set it up and nobody touch it, right? And you can't afford this, you know, even small changes to that environment because it's very critical to people or critical to your business. And again, Windows 10 gives you options. So we have these various branches of the operating system to cater for these different scenarios. And you'll find out that you're probably going to have a little bit of all of them in any one organization. So let's get into this in a bit more detail. The current branch, right, we're talking about largely consumers, but again, you'll have some of these devices in your organization. They're going to see updates very regularly. So roughly every 4 months, there's going to be a new release. Now, we've given these time frames as a kind of give you guys context about how often we're updating Windows. But the important bit is not the 4 months. The important bit is that we are ready to deliver something new to our customers. Okay? So sometimes, maybe it's 5 months. Right? 4 months is probably going to be the minimum. But what's going to happen is that when we release that, or before we release the new version, there's going to be those servicing updates, right? Patch Tuesday rolls around, we find there's a bug fix, or that we need to push out, or some vulnerability, we'll patch that as appropriate. And that's largely what's been happening in previous Windows. But when this new version comes out, like it did last week, we are then now running a new current branch for Windows. And what this means is the previous branch stops being serviced. Right, and really means that's no longer supported. So the idea is that users are kept up to date rapidly. And if you fall into that gray box, because you've got a machine that's still running the RTM and hasn't been connected to the internet or for whatever reason it hasn't been upgraded, if you try and check for updates against Windows Update, there's only one update we're going to offer you, and that's going to be the current branch, whatever that is. Now, the good news is, all of these updates are now cumulative. So I'm sure if you're still deploying Windows 7 in your environment, if you've ever had to go and create a new image, you run through SCCM usually, and you're running that install updates task, and it tries to install 500 updates, and it takes 9 hours to capture an image. A lot of pain, right? And SCCM, to be honest, doesn't help us a whole lot because it's a bit flaky in that scenario. But with Windows 10, right, if that machine comes out of the drawer, after 6 months, or you need to recapture a new image, there's probably going to be two updates you install. The cumulative update to get you on the latest and greatest version, and the cumulative update with all the security fixes that have been released in the past, right? So again, making it much more easy for us to look after.
I'm just laughing because SCCM's your baby, and you're saying mean things about it behind its back.
Shh. So as we move on into next year and suitably vague timelines there, like I said, roughly every 4 months, right, there's going to be a new release, new features that we're delivering to Windows operating system. And each time we do that, the previous releases fall out of support. But for businesses, right, like I said, we need a little bit more control. Now, the important thing to note about the current branch versus current branch for Windows is that it's the same thing, right? The main difference is the timing about how you get updates. And the thinking behind this is that, again, current branch comes out, we service it, we patch it, new version gets released last week. What happens now is that that first version that's been out in the wild now for 4 months, and it's been patched, and Microsoft are happy to say, right, this is ready to go, it's stable enough, it's feature-rich enough, that is now ready for business, certified ready for business. And where we do that, it's just kind of it's more of a soft change than a technical change. We're saying that build is ready for business, and we will service that build for a minimum of 8 months. But now we've got this new version, right, that has just been released last week. So there's two versions out in the wild. Again, after 4 months or thereabouts, there's going to be a third release. When the third release comes out, that second release will be have already been out in the market for 4 months. We certify that ready for business, and now we have our second current brand for business release. And the thinking here is that the idea for you guys to remember is that there's going to be two current branches for business at any one time. So you've got more flexibility. If something happens that you can't upgrade for whatever reason, you've got that 8 months at least to fix the problem or to create some kind of workaround.
Rusty, I was thinking that traditionally in the past, businesses always waited for the first major update to come out, and then that was what they put out.
Who does that? I want N plus one, please. Yeah. Fair enough. And this is the idea that Microsoft is working to as well. So again, if there's something has gone wrong in that release, or there's an issue that we discover, we can patch it, we can fix the problem before it gets to our business customers, or the majority of our business customers. But what's going to happen, next year or thereabouts is that third release of the current branch for Windows will become the next release of the current branch for business, and our first release that was released in July falls out of support. All right, so that's where we're getting our number from that you saw earlier, only 200 odd days left, roughly, before this happens. So again, it's not about 4 months comes around and we're going to push out an update, right? We're making sure that everything looks good. So there might be some, give and take in that process. You also need to take note that this current branch for business is only available if you are running pro, enterprise, or education SKUs. So home SKU doesn't apply. Again, all updates are cumulative, right? It's very handy. Now again, I mentioned that the different current branch for business is the same build, right? So this is a setting, it's a configuration you define on the device to say, you're in the current branch or you're in the current branch for business. And if I'm in the current branch and I want to change, I tick a box, okay? This last case, however, is what we call our long-term servicing branch. And this is for those specialized systems that just cannot suffer any change. This is a completely separate build of Windows. So you don't configure my device to be a long-term service. You format it and reinstall the special version, right? So if you actually go look on MSDN or your volume licensing portal, you'll see two downloads for Windows 10. The long-term servicing branch and the current branch. And that's for, like I said, those devices that are running, some kind of instrument or are highly critical to our business or highly critical to people that can't handle this rapid change. We will service these guys for 10 years. But again, no new features get delivered. It's only bug fixes, security fixes. We think that there'll probably be two or three releases of the long-term servicing branch at any one time. Right? We've got the timings there as well. Maybe every 2 to 3 years, we will cut a new version of the long-term servicing branch. Again, it's less about timing and more about when we feel like this is an ultra-stable version of Windows that we're going to make long-term servicing branch.
It's pretty sparse, though, hey, that version. It's not for fun.
Now, some of our customers are thinking they want this because they don't want to handle those rapid updates of change. And again, it's an option available to you. We don't want you to go there because it stops your users from getting the latest and greatest. And we want our users to be more productive than they've ever before. So you do need to be aware of the situation. If you want to upgrade from the long-term servicing branch to the current branch, that's an option. But you are talking about a deployment scenario here. You're not talking about a tick box. Right? Also, with the long-term servicing branches, we've removed a bunch of features. So again, it's all about hardcore stability, less about user friendliness. So things like Cortana is not available. The App Store is not available. The new Edge browser is not available. So you need to make sure you take all of that into consideration.
It's not really friendly on mobility or flexibility either, hey?
Exactly. So again, talking about the differences here, just very high level, the servicing lifespan is probably the main thing to pay attention to. Current branch, you're talking about 4 months. Current branch for business is at least 8 months, but it can be a bit longer if you're not ready to upgrade straight away. Long-term servicing branch, we're talking about 10 years. So 5 years of standard support, 5 years of extended support, a similar kind of deal we had with Windows 7 and our previous operating systems. But we do have that red box about things that are not available, right? So Edge is not available, all of those first-party apps aren't available, the store's not available, Cortana, some of the search functions is limited as well. So I think when I first heard about this, I'm like, that's pretty interesting of Microsoft. They're just going to, you know, shovel these updates down people's throats. How are they going to react? We're trying to figure out how this new mechanism works. Because previously, when we've released updates, it's kind of like we create the updates in the labs, right? We get a little bit of testing inside Microsoft, and then all of a sudden hits the real world, and as we all know, that the test lab is not the real world, and you know, sometimes things didn't go so well. This time around, we're taking a bit of a more of a slow and steady approach. So again, we are still doing internal validation, but it's quite broad, and we're talking about tens of thousands of users. Insider preview program, right? Several million. Last time I looked, it was about 7.5 million users already. This is a pretty new thing, right? It's only been around for, Windows 10 at least, it's only been around for a few months, and we've already got this great team out in the community that's validating all the stuff that we're doing. So these guys are receiving updates very often, right? Every couple of weeks, they're testing it. And it makes sense for any organization to have a couple of these devices in their organization. Maybe it's the IT guy, or maybe you've got some test lab machines. So you can see what's coming ahead of time, and you can start preparing your environment. And if you have that, those one or two super critical apps that have to work, you can test it soon. And if something goes wrong, you can actually communicate that back to Microsoft in a useful way that we will actually receive. As Michelle said, then we can address that and we can patch it before it hits mainstream. So after this has all happened, usually these new releases have been out for a few months in the insider preview program. They're again released to the current branch. So all of our consumers, the majority of which will be consumers, sorry, they're going to be running on the current branch. They're going to see these updates. I was actually looking previously, and even though that new update that was released like 6 days ago, we already just shy of 7 million users on that new update. So everything's still pretty new, right? But if you're talking about in a year's time, hundreds of millions of people testing these updates before they come in, you know, they come to our business organizations, that's a very realistic statement. Right? I'm sure we all do some kind of UAT deployment before we push patches out to our, you know, machines, run it on these guys for a little while, make sure nothing breaks. But you get to leverage the, you know, the skin that Microsoft's running in that this has been validated by a lot more folks. Then it hits the current branch for business, and that's where the majority of our users will be. But even a step further, we can create these internal rings. So even in our organization, we can say, this group of machines gets the new current branch for business straight away, but these machines will wait a month or 2 months. And you just define that. It can be as simple as group policy, or if you're using Config Manager vNext, which is coming out very soon, you can define that all in there. So again, in our organization, we're going to have a bit of a mix. And again, Windows 10 is all about giving us flexibility and options. So if you really want to go and put your entire organization on the long-term servicing branch, you can. It's certainly nothing that anybody would recommend to you. But if it's, you know, it's possible, you can do that, and you will be supported. You just need to understand that you're going to miss out on the latest and greatest. But in terms of this, you know, rapid release, the way that we think about getting ready for an update to our operating system has got to change as well. So what about our critical apps? Are you going to go and validate all of your apps in your organization every 4 months when there's a new release? Probably not. That's going to be a really expensive and resource-intensive process. So you've got to be a little bit smarter about it. It's about identifying what are the top critical things that have to work, and you prioritize the testing of those. again, using things like the insider branch and the current branch, you get to see what's coming ahead of time, you get to test things ahead of time. And it's going to be this continual process, right, forever, basically.
But the impact is much, we would expect the impact to be much less than it used to be in the old days. I mean, there was a huge difference between Windows 7 and Windows 8.
Exactly, and even, you know, everyone who remembers upgrading from XP, you know, pretty much every application broke, but a lot of things have changed since then. The changes here we're talking about are much smaller, much simpler, a little bit easier for us to handle. But it's, you know, I really encourage you, put the time and effort now to kind of get on that Windows 10 platform. Even if you take the slow and steady approach and you don't leverage all the new shiny features, get yourself on that platform, because that is what's, once you're there, the rest becomes a little bit easier. So lastly, let's have a quick chat about management. And again, lots and lots of different options here. Again, if we want to manage our devices in the same way that we've managed them previously, with, you know, SECM or WSAS and group policy, all of those methods are still applicable. There's probably a patch or two you need to install on some of these things, right? SECM needs to be updated perhaps, but the processes, the investment you've made in business process and policy and so on, you can reuse all of that, right? We don't need to throw it all out and start again. But there are some cool new things that we can leverage as well. Who here is running Azure Active Directory in their organization? A few hands, good. What about Office 365? A few more hands, good. You know, and this is one of the ways that, you know, Windows 10 is enabling these new features. You know, the ability for you to open a device straight out of the box, log in with your Office 365 account, the machine's automatically provisioned, configured, has everything you need, and off you go. You know, not an IT admin in sight. That's really going to open up new possibilities for how we look after our devices. So Azure Active Directory is a very big part of that, also using our MDM solution, which gives you some bonus functionality, but you can actually use third-party MDM solutions to manage Windows 10. Because Windows 10 is Windows 10, the same way you can use AirWatch, for example, to manage your mobile device, right? There's an MDM agent built into Windows 10. So if you really wanted to, you could look after Windows 10 devices in the same way. Now, the functionality is not as rich as if you're using Intune, of course. But again, it's all about giving your options. What makes sense for your organization, your environment? The Windows Store for Business is another way that we're giving you more flexibility. So rather than having SECM deliver applications one way or manual installations, the users can go to this one-stop shop to get everything that they need in terms of applications. So all the consumer-facing stuff, right? Angry Birds, Candy Crush, and the like is there. But also, my line of business application that's specifically assigned to me with a license that my manager bought with a PO code is available in the same place. Right? So it's, again, a lot more options there. And there is a whole session on the Windows Store for Business that Michael Niehaus is doing tomorrow, so go check that out if that's of interest. Also the infrastructure, so SECM now being fully supported in Windows Azure, so running that in management layer up in the cloud, whether it's full-blown SECM or a more, you know, light MDM Windows Intune, again, new possibilities, new options. And also ownership. We've been talking about BYOD for a long time now, and, you know, it kind of makes sense, but it was hard work, I think. Hard work to cover all your bases. Who here has a BYOD policy in their workplace or something that they promote? Right? A few hands. With Windows 10, again, we talk about that provisioning process. It makes it a lot simpler. Gives us more control and gives the user more flexibility at the same time. You know, something we used to thinking about as mutually exclusive. Some great stuff there.
A lot of people might not have the policy, but where they bring mobile phones to work, they can automatically connect to their email because there's nothing stopping them there.
Yeah, and this caused some issues in a few organizations because, you know, oh, I can connect, get my work email on the phone, you know, that's great. The person leaves and the IT admin goes, oh, he's not a member anymore, I'll just active sync wipe his device and, you know, you're deleting photos of the dog or the kids and all hell breaks loose. But again, the Windows 10 platform and smarter management tools that we have in Windows Intune, for example, understand part of that stuff is enterprise and is mine, and part of the stuff is the users, right? And understanding those two different types of data and doing things like selective wipe and implementing policies so that the data doesn't cross between those lines. I will touch on this very quickly because I know most of you are using SCCM. So if you want to look at deploying Windows 10, you need to pay attention to your versions. Now, there was some confusion out there about the way that we announced this. And I believe the SCCM TechNet pages have yet to be updated with this information, but it is on the blog. So if you go looking for it, you'll find it out there. If you're using a current version of SCCM to deploy Windows 10 or manage Windows 10, you're good, but only for those first two releases. So the one that was released in July, the one that was released last week, if you're managing those devices in SCCM 2012, R2, SP1, or R1, SP2, then that's okay. But next year, we're going to have new releases of Windows 10, and those new releases of Windows 10 won't be supported in the current version of SCCM. Now, very soon, I don't have a date for you, I'm sorry, but very soon we will be releasing SCCM vNext, and one of the coolest things we're doing with this is we're dropping all the numbers. So it'll be called System Center Configuration Manager, full stop. And in the same way that we're keeping Windows fresh and up to date, we have this great new servicing capability inside SCCM to keep it up to date. So when we deliver a new feature in Windows, we can simultaneously deliver a new feature to SCCM to be able to manage that feature, or whatever the case might be. So again, got another session on tomorrow night all about what's coming in vNext, some more details, come check that out. But I'll just touch on a couple here. Like I said, we're going to drop the version numbers. It's just going to be called SCCM, which is great. And this will provide all native support for the new Windows 10 stuff. So things like I said, the native task sequence to do in-place upgrades. There's a new servicing node which you can use to control all the branch releases in your organization, define those internal rings, all within that single pane of glass of SCCM. Also, client upgrades. I know that's, I'm an SCCM engineer and done a lot of work with customers that are wanting to upgrade SCCM, and it's this great big project, and then you've got to, you know, have a 10-week change control in place to push out all the new SCCM agents. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The process will be a little bit simpler in the new version of SCCM. So again, we will manage that process better for you, so you can kind of set up those deployment collections and say, go forth and upgrade my clients, and we can handle that. And more. Just a quick look at the servicing node. So I think, you know, talking about servicing life cycle, SCCM is going to give us a really good handle on how many machines are running what branch and what version of Windows, and which ones are in trouble, right? They need to be updated because they've dropped support, which ones are expiring soon. And we can set up rules to kind of set and forget, on put it on autopilot, and it'll work it out for us. Or we can come in there and take that manual step. Again, options, right? Whatever makes sense for our environment. So, get out there, ready, set, do. probably the main thing for all of our customers is getting off older versions of IE, right? IE11 is going to be the only version supported in Windows 10. So if you are stuck on an old version because of an intranet site or an application or something like that, then you need to get on that. The good news is the enterprise mode that we have in IE now is actually really great. So we have a tool that you can download and provide create this basically a site map to say these websites are having some kind of issue with IE11. And when your user clicks on that website, we're going to automatically switch on a compatibility mode that's going to work for that website. So we've got tools to help you discover the list that has problems, and then we've got, you know, within that tool as well, we can create this list to say, hey, if the user clicks on this website, render it like IE8 did or IE7 did, and hopefully that gets around your problems. You know, Michelle's story from before about, we just deployed IE11 in 3 months. We just kind of pushed it out there. And if anybody had a problem, we just added their site to the list. And in that one case, they had very little issues. So that is a real solution for a lot of our customers. get them onto Windows 10.
They're not even fixing that.
And then take your time to go back and think, okay, why is this a problem? You know, get the vendor on the phone and say, hey, what are you doing? What about Windows 10? And also make sure that if you are using things like SCCM and MDT, that you're running supported versions, right? Also the MDOP suite, Desktop Optimization Pack, things like AppV or UEV, if you're using those, there are cumulative updates and service packs you need to apply to get support for Windows 10, right? All the stuff is up there on TechNet now, so if you actually go looking for it, hopefully you'll find it. Some of it was a bit late in coming, but it's all there now. And lastly, Microsoft can help with this. So if you're interested in actually getting Microsoft to come on site and work with you to make this happen, then we've got quite a few different offerings that can help you with doing that. Right? Small, give us some assistance for a few days versus a whole Microsoft managed project, we can help. So if that's of interest, come have a chat with us afterwards and we'll tell you who to get in touch with. But you know, if that's not something you're going to do straight away, get up there and start testing stuff now. Right? Go find some people who want to get on the latest and greatest. Find those IT champs, or those IT savvy users that you know want to see the new thing and play with the new thing. Put them on the current branch and see how things go.
A couple of my customers have done the Windows 10 proof of concept, which is only a 4-day engagement. And even like one of them isn't even, you know, isn't close to thinking of using Windows 10 yet, but they wanted to think about what they needed to be thinking about. So they did this 4-day engagement, and he really took them through everything they needed to be thinking about. They're not using SCCM, they're using Landesk. They actually aren't using enterprise licenses, they're using Pro. So, you know, they were really a terrible scenario for my poor engineer to have to do a proof of concept with, because they're totally not what most of you are. But they said it was an amazing week, and they really got a load out of it, and they were really able to convert that knowledge into stuff that was useful for their organization that would help them make decisions so that they could move forward quickly and not be held up over worries that they weren't sure about.
Yeah. So like I said, if you're not already doing this in your organization, and I don't mean on your personal PC at work because you're the IT guy, start trying to get that out in the environment. Get your users to start to test this. We think they're going to have a good experience. Like I said, the application compatibility story is very good. You still need to do your testing, right? Microsoft's not going to test the apps for you, but I'm yet to come across one of my customers that have had a problem with an application specifically. Right? If it works in Windows 7, if it works in Windows 8, there's a high 90s chance it's going to work in Windows 10 as well.
Windows 10 is kinder. It's a nicer operating system. Okay, so do your evaluations. Remember, 5 is good, and here we are late at night, just like you love us. I do have some gold here that if anyone needs a bribe, you can come and get gold. Also, there's prizes for doing those evaluations, so you get into draws to win prizes. As we mentioned earlier, there's a lot of other good Windows 10 sessions going on this week. If you miss them, you can catch them on Channel 9. If you go to the Ignite New Zealand site, you can already see a lot of sessions that were run a couple of months ago. But from just catching the end of Michael's presentation before, I see a lot has changed since then already. So what I do is I watch the old one and then I watch the new one, and most of the stuff kind of sinks in. But definitely catch Michael's, and definitely go to Rusty's presentation tomorrow if you have SCCM and like Intune. And I have another session on Friday, morning tea in the break in the expo in the Hat Corner. And that's a fun session. So that's called How to Level Up on Life and Think Outside the Xbox. So come along to that with your morning tea snack, and it'll be glorious. It's only 20 minutes, so you can just eat and have fun with me while we do that. Thanks for staying with us so long. We really appreciate that this is the last session of the day, and you must be starving and tired. And we've loved being here, and I hope you've had a good time too.
Thanks, everyone. We'll close there. Come have a chat to us if you've got any questions. Otherwise, it's most certainly beer o'clock.